Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
What a beautiful day. Beautiful day in Colorado. Alfred Williams is back. It's so good to see you, my friend. I hope it's not out of line to say you were in California.
Yes.
Because I'm very curious what that was like over the past few days. I know you weren't kind of in the thick of things.
I was in Palm Springs, in the
which is southeast from where all the trouble was.
Right,
the
but
fires.
There was still you could still see the smoke.
Could you?
Rolling over the hills. Yeah, it was ominous a little bit, just to be around it and know all the devastation that had happened in the state and be that close to it, but really not close to it.
Okay. Was people in California talking about it? Or was
it's a horrible
incident, Thousand Oaks, too, with the shooting and then the fires. I mean, it was a rough, rough week for the state of California.
It was, and I think the city has rallied for the for all the affected people in both incidents, and I would think that the American public will be in full support of the recovery efforts for all those that are affected on both sides of that coin as well.
Yeah, it was crazy. It reminded me when we had those fires in Colorado Springs, and
right.
it looks like hell. It looks like you would think hell looks like. And, you know, I've been to that area actually several times in the past 6 months, and it's a wonderful area. It's just awful to see. Awful to see. So I'm glad you're okay. I didn't think you were in any kind of harm's way or anything, but I was thinking about you a little bit being out there.
Well, thank you, bro. I appreciate
How's the
that.
Travel situation? Everything copacetic there?
It was just simply the best birthday I could have ever hoped for
Good.
In my life.
Were you in and out of LAX or another airport?
No, we flew out of Orange County.
Oh, okay.
So we wanted to do little Newport Beach yesterday.
Nice.
And everything was fine. You know, maybe because smoke was carrying out to the ocean, but
LAX can get a little hairy.
Yeesh,
LAX.
Yeah. Usually, you want to fly into Palm Springs Airport.
Yeah,
there,
that would be ideal.
Right there, yeah.
That would be great.
But we wanted to finish the trip up last night in Newport Beach, and that was great. It was wonderful, man. It was a fantastic trip. A lot of friends came out to visit from all over the country.
Anybody interesting?
All of those guys. All of them. All of them are interesting. So it was by far the best birthday party I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome. Any celebrities stop by? Any in Palm Springs? I don't know. Could run into a famous person here and there.
Maybe. Overall, it was just the fellas.
Okay. Maybe.
I mean, you're in L.A., you get that stuff.
Well, so. I mean, either you saw one or you didn't.
Oh, okay, well, okay.
Did you see one?
Sure.
Who?
None of your business.
Well, what's the big deal? All right. How'd you hit him?
I did all right. Did all right for not playing in a long time. I did all right. But it was mostly just getting together with guys I'd, been friends with for decades.
So is everybody 50, or are you beating him to the punch?
I think there are still a couple left.
Still a couple stragglers
left
out there. Well,
what'll happen in the next calendar year?
Did you? As I will happen in the next calendar year, I'll be joining you.
Right.
Sometime in late June, when things are awesome and it doesn't get dark at 5 o'clock in the evening. It was like 7:30 last night. I felt like it was midnight.
Oh, I know. I know. Geez. The time change is.
Why do we do it?
I don't know.
What is the point?
So the kids won't go to the bus stop in the dark.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't even care about the kids anymore.
Yeah, because your kids are...
My kids are way beyond the bus stop.
Yeah, but I think if it wasn't...
Is
that?
There's
a little
Zach
more.
Zach Bye.
Huh.
With a salute. It's a nice little treat.
It's always nice to
have. God, winner, 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 chicken dinner. When don't you win? Went in with the field goal kicking, went in with the basketball. Oh, he, by the way, he does not believe you dunked.
Who?
Zach.
Well, I mean, you know, make it light on himself.
I gotcha. I have your back on that like you wouldn't believe. After the field goal kick, if you tell me you've done something or can do something, I am not about to doubt you. I have been doubtful in the past.
That's, you have doubted me all the way until it's been done.
And the doubting days are over, my friend. If you say you can fly to the moon, I'll say what time is the launch pad.
By the way, man, congratulations on another successful Veteran Days for all of our fantastic vets. Man, I want to give a special shout out to my brother Andre Goffney, who is a vet who is who didn't get a chance to see me play in either one of the Orange Bowls while I was at the University of Colorado, but did make it to a Super Bowl. So happy Veterans Day to all of you guys out there. And special thanks to my brother.
Right on. My dad was lieutenant in the Army. Yeah, he loved the Army. He dated Suzanne Pleshette, and he played golf.
Who was Suzanne Pleshette?
She was a famous actress. She was in Newhart. She was Bob Newhart's wife in the sitcom Newhart.
Oh, okay.
She was an up-and-coming actress. He was stationed at, I want to say Fort Bragg. I might be wrong, but somewhere near New York City. So, he kind of led a group of men there for a while, and then when he got a little bit into his days there as a lieutenant, they put him in charge of the bookstore. And he had a couple people working for him, made sure the bookstore was open, and played golf. He loved the Army.
Yeah,
his timing, brother did too. His timing was ridiculous. He was right between Korea and Vietnam. There was just a very short period where nothing was really going on.
Conflict.
He just lucked out.
No major conflict.
Nothing that sent him overseas. So he ran the bookstore and played golf.
every
time I talk to my dad about being in the Army, it's like, I love being in the Army. Was great. Then he was supposed to check in. He was supposed to check in the reserves, and he took a job. He was going out to San Francisco, and he just never checked in. And the paperwork wasn't great. The computer system back in late 50s, early 60s wasn't so sophisticated. So he just got lost in the shuffle. So he had the greatest 2.5 years ever, Alfred. And I'm glad your brother had a good time, too. And we salute everybody that. Did you see just really quickly, my man Joel Hunt? Joel's such a great dude. Great vet. And there was an incident on Saturday Night Live where the comedian Pete Davidson.
I did see it. I saw it last week, actually.
So you saw the insulting thing to Dan Crenshaw.
Right.
Before the election. And the bit was, I'm just going to make fun of politicians the way they look. I don't know anything about them. I'm not being political. I'm just going to sort of poke fun at them because I'm kind of a dopey millennial, comedian guy. So there was no harm intended, but it was definitely misguided because Crenshaw lost an eye when an IED went off, and it's nothing to make fun of it to any context whatsoever. And he took a lot of flack for it. So Joel was really upset about it, and he started a petition about Saturday Night Live apologizing, and I think that plus a lot of other public pressure. So Crenshaw comes on with Pete Davidson, and it's a great, if you haven't seen it, it's a great bit. I don't know how you could say it was anything but great. There was an apology. They poked fun at Davidson for things, and they had a great message of unity for everybody afterwards. So I'm not exactly sure how you could do better than they did in terms of apologizing, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I was trying to figure out who Pete Davidson is and why is he in the spotlight on mainstream television.
Well, do you know the main reason lately?
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, she's like
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Sounds like something you get at Starbucks, but okay.
That's what a minister said at the Aretha Franklin funeral, and it got him in a lot of trouble.
Really?
Oh yeah. And then he groped her.
Why? Oh, did why did he get in trouble?
Because it's her name. He shouldn't be. He's cracking jokes at the Aretha thing.
Oh, and I don't think he should do that.
I think he called her like some sort of burrito you would order at Chipotle.
No, it sounds like a combo meal at Taco Bell is what he
combo
said.
Combo meal at Taco Bell. Right. Yeah.
That's a little different.
Yeah. And then he's grabbing her around the. Now, she is petite.
Is she?
And he's grabbing. He's a taller fella. And he's grabbing her around the rib cage. And,
I saw that. He certainly looked like he was groping her.
Now, she is absurdly talented. I mean, It's ridiculous.
I didn't actually see her sing there. I saw the incident.
She's unbelievable. And she met Pete Davidson when she was doing Saturday Night Live, and they moved in together and were engaged. And
But give me the context of why Pete Davidson is.
Well, it's nobody. Pete Davidson. You look at Pete Davidson.
Who is he?
Now, Pete Davidson is an interesting guy. He's a comedian, and his dad very sadly died in 9/11. He was in. He was a firefighter.
Oh.
And he tragically died in 9/11. And Pete Davidson himself has fought mental illness issues that he's been very open about. And he's been on Saturday Night Live for his shtick on Saturday Night Live. He's a young guy. He's a stoner. He's just kind of like, you know, just kind of like a dude, you know, that sort of guy. So the thing about him, like, being engaged to Ariana Grande, I mean, it's right up there with Whitney Houston's marrying Bobby Brown. It's just like, what? Really?
Bobby Brown was a bona fide star.
Well, you can make an argument Pete Davidson was a bona fide star. He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live for the past 5 years, so you could make that argument.
Okay.
It's just a matching of, like, you got to be kidding me. Like, really? I mean, when you heard Bobby Brown, if you can think back that far,
oh, my goodness,
Houston.
I'm like, what's going on? I'm right. Like, something's wrong.
Right.
Immediately,
but
I thought something was wrong with
but
that.
They
is
had,
that the way I should feel in that relationship?
Well, I think Whitney and Bobby were kind of meant for each other because they had something significant in common, and it didn't go as far with Ariana Grande. The story was, like, he's
is
living...
Is it Grande or Gron?
Grande.
Okay.
We're going two down the wishing well here. But it's good to have you back. Did you catch any football over the weekend?
Of course, of course.
What got your attention?
Well, of course, the thing that I wanted to see was a real upset of the Kansas City Chiefs to bring everybody back to the pack. But that didn't happen, and it was a good game. There's something about them.
Chiefs couldn't quite totally break away.
No,
but
they couldn't. And that third quarter, you know, the announcer was clear about his love for the Kansas City Chiefs. I forget who it was. But you know...
I think it was Trent Green, right?
To talk about the fact that the Chiefs have scored in every third quarter this year, right, and they didn't score a touchdown in the third quarter. I was like, why didn't you mention that was the first third quarter that they didn't score a touchdown in?
Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL Insider, is presented by Rox Heating and Air. R-O-X, Rox Heating and Air. Adam, what did we learn about the NFL this past weekend? There were some interesting games for sure. What did you learn?
I learned that the Saints are the team to beat right now. They are the best team in football today, whatever that's worth, on November 12th. I think that we learned that the Philadelphia Eagles have a real case of a Super Bowl hangover. It's not made up. It's not imagined. It's real. And they still could bounce back, but it's not going to be an easy thing for them to do. We saw that the Patriots, as good as they are, can be beaten any given Sunday. The Tennessee Titans whooped them pretty good yesterday. I think we saw that. What else did we see yesterday that just really jumped out to me, amongst other things?
What do we learn about the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback situation?
Holy moly!
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Don't you think it's
crazy
insane?
How it all worked out.
I mean, that honestly, that is insane. Like, this guy, I think he was added to their roster within the last week. Okay, and. And I'm just telling you this, like, everybody that, you know, I play fantasy football. I love playing fantasy football. The guy I was going against traded for the Jets defense last week, and I was sick. I'm like, oh, my God. And honestly, I was concerned that he was going to have Nathan Peterman to go against. And then Saturday, the Bills made the announcement that Matt Barkley was going to be starting. And I thought, you know what? Okay, I could live with that. You know, he's not going to be as bad, as turnover prone as Nathan Peterman, but I didn't expect that. Like, this guy's dropping dimes all over the
field
and beating the Jets and, you know, schooling them on their home field. Like, it was
amazing.
It was embarrassing to the Jets. Embarrassing.
Well, I want to ask you about the moves that have been made around the NFL after last weekend. Terrell Austin is out as defensive coordinator. Marvin Lewis returns to calling the defense for the Cincinnati Bengals.
And
any more type moves like that are out there? I mean, this is pretty amazing.
Well, what other team needs a scapegoat? I guess that would be my answer.
Terrell Austin was bad for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I I texted Marvin today, and I'm like, hey, who's the new defensive coordinator? And he said, you're talking to him. Michael, come on. Okay, that's a good source, you know? it's kind of funny just to get that response back. But, listen, the Bengals, what's amazing to me there is that this guy, Terrell Austin, I believe.
It doesn't matter now. He's never working
Terrell
again.
Terrell Austin, Alfred.
Yeah, Terrell.
Terrell Austin was interviewing for head coaching jobs regularly.
Yeah, that's done.
The last few years.
Oh.
And was a finalist for head coaching jobs in recent years. And then today, gets fired as the Bengals defensive coordinator 9 games into the season after his defense became the first defense in the Super Bowl era. This is not a good stat, right? You know,
We got one like that this year.
What's the number?
His defense became the first defense in the Super Bowl era to allow over 500 total yards in 3 straight games.
Wow. Well, I guess that's his fault. It'll be much better with Marvin. I just think that these coaches, they're not going to fire themselves. So, you got to look for somebody to.
Marvin, though, is a Super Bowl winning defensive coach, though. I think you look at him that way.
Then why wasn't he just the defensive coordinator from the get-go? Yeah,
why doesn't that work that way, Adam? Why do we see all the offensive guys, when they become coordinators, take over play calling responsibilities and the head coach, but the defensive guys give it away? Everybody except a couple of guys out there do it the exact same way.
Well, not every guy on offense does it that way. I mean, it depends coach to coach. But, I mean, listen, when you get promoted to be a head coach, and you raise a valid point. When you get promoted, they're hiring you because your unit excelled in a certain area, whether that's on offense or defense, right? Like, I'm just saying, Kyle Shanahan.
Nope.
Were great. Nope. Sean McVay's offenses in Washington were great. That's sort of why guys get promoted every year, right? There's a unit that excels. Josh McDaniels' offenses in New England have been great. And so a lot of times a coach takes over and they're hiring him for these skills, and yet a lot of times they don't follow through on it and they're running a team. But now you're giving away that person's greatest value. So it is odd to me that happens. Marvin Lewis made his hay as a defensive coordinator in this league. He was with the Baltimore Ravens. I believe, Alfred, as you mentioned, he was their defense coordinator during the record-setting season. In fact, I know he was.
Yep.
I remember talking to him at the Super Bowl that year. And so, the Bengals now have fired 2 coordinators in each of the last 2 years. The offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi, after 2 games last year.
Right.
The defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin, after 9 games this year.
Right, because you don't fire yourself. You keep your job as long as you can, and then you got to be fired eventually. But the Bengals right now are a potential playoff team. I mean, they're 5-4. They got a winning record. We'll see where it goes. Speaking of coaches, though, John Harbaugh, everybody is saying this is it, and it's going to separate on good terms. It's just time that it's done. What do you know, and what do you think?
Yeah, listen, I won't be surprised if it happens that way. I just think it's a little premature to say it's going to happen that way. And these coaching situations change regularly. And so, look, he's been a coach of that team for a long time. They won a Super Bowl together. And they failed to make the playoffs in recent seasons. So if he doesn't make it again, could he lose his job? Absolutely. Absolutely. But could the Ravens... We're coming up with a scenario. What's the Ravens' record right now? I think it's 4-5?
4-5, yeah.
Okay. So what if the Ravens go on a run here, finish 10-6, and make the playoffs as a wild card?
Right.
Which... Could happen.
Could happen,
We've
sure.
We've seen things worse. I mean, crazier than that happen.
Ozzie Newsom's still not going to be the GM next year. I mean, he's leaving. This is his last year, right?
This is supposed to be his last year. Supposed to be his last year, right? I don't know whether he wants to stay on as an advisor, consultant, I don't know what he wants to do, okay? There are some questions. If you don't make the playoffs again, if the Ravens go... 6-10, is John Harbaugh going to keep his job? No, I don't think he will. If they go 10-6, does he keep his job and make the ball? I think he will.
Okay.
Let's let it play out and see what happens.
All right. I don't know. That's what we speculate.
Why are we rushing to fire off these guys, man?
I'm not. No, I don't care.
Yeah.
We're just past the halfway point of the NFL season, and you know, like you said, there could be teams that get on a run and make a significant move to get to the playoffs. Oh, no doubt. Every year there is somebody that surprises you.
Well, I know who it's
going to
be.
We saw the Los Angeles Chargers last year come up one game short of making the playoffs after a terrible start.
Have you been paying attention to the Colts lately in the past three games?
They have not allowed a sack in four straight games.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck has looked really good. Chris Ballard has done a great job drafting there. Frank Reich, I mean, that's...
Look out.
I you know what I'd say? I'd say look out for the Titans.
Look out for the Titans, yeah.
Have you seen their schedule down the stretch?
Mm-mm. Well, they got, I can look at it real quick. Is it easy?
If you play fantasy football, you might want to pick up the Titans defense.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Take a look.
I'm looking right now. We got... give me the whole thing here.
No, they have the Colts still.
Yeah, well, they got the Colts, right? They got Indy, Houston, Jets, Jacksonville. They're done. Giants are terrible. Washington's a playoff team. Tennessee, I don't know. That's not that easy, Adam.
They got the Titans twice at the end of it.
If you're, I'm talking about from a fancy defense,
I'm just saying a coach.
That's a good schedule.
All right. Oh, from fantasy. Well, okay. How are you doing in your fantasy league, Adam? You've mentioned it like three times now. You doing all right? You doing good?
Listen, fantasy sports are my vice. NBA fantasy is my real vice. As I said to one of my producers, it's my cigarette break. Five minutes, I go take a look at my lineups, make sure we're set. You know, some people don't have a cigarette, during the day. I don't do that. I don't smoke. I don't drink. So
no, fantasy.
Well, I go set my fancy lineups.
All right. Well, we'll let you go and focus on that. But we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Adam Schefter brought to you by ROX, R-O-X, Heating and Air. I am in no rush to bring John Harbaugh to Denver. It's just,
I like to see us have one of those type of runs.
I think it could happen.
Yeah. So, I'm not doing that. I'm not, because this team has a better quarterback than it had last year, and we have been in virtually every football game, minus that embarrassment against the Jets, things can flip around. What if we're one of those teams?
Alfred, there's no reason it couldn't happen.
Way?
And I spent a ton of time looking at the Chargers. I got great news about this game. Great news about the Broncos taking on the Chargers. We got the big three. That's coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
We just talked about how the Colts, of all teams at 4-5, are on quite a roll. And this little sound... That's Quentin Nelson, Al, pulling and then wiping out a linebacker or a safety or, I don't know, somebody who wishes he wasn't in Quentin Nelson's way. That's making the rounds today. And that is not Mike Evans going to IHOP, although people speculated on the morning show that's exactly what it was. Including Mike himself. So let me ask you this, Al. Let's take the quarterbacks out of it. Should the Broncos have drafted Quentin Nelson instead of Bradley Chubb?
No, I think right now it looks like Bradley Chubb is a better draft pick than Quentin Nelson because guys who can get to the passer are a premium right now. And I think that we have a guy who can also get to the passer and be effective in pass dropping. So,
disparage Quentin Nelson, but a pass rusher is more important than a guard.
Every time.
Bongos.
Three.
Goodbye, CJ Anderson.
Yeah,
no love lost. Thank you, Carolina.
Wow.
Grind time. That was his tweet. D-Mac, the guy ran for 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, but he'd run and for 100 yards this year.
And we talked about it, and I told you, not a special task. Now a guy who signs a deal for minimum, who ran for 1,000 yards last year, is looking for work.
Yep.
How special was last year for C.J. Anderson as a runner?
For C.J., it was special. It was a mark for him that meant something.
Was it a special year in for running backs?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's two different things. You realize that, right?
Well,
for CJ, it was a big deal, but we
made a big deal about a 1,000-yard rusher. And
did we really make a big deal? Team was 5-11.
I think the team made a big deal about CJ Anderson.
They were trying to make
1,000.
A big deal about something. The team was 5-11. They had the number 5 overall draft pick. I mean, you know, we're scratching there.
Well, CJ's out looking for work now. Good luck to CJ. Many great memories of him running us all the way to a Super Bowl. Hopefully he lands on his feet somewhere where they are winning. Okay, Bongos.
3.
Alfred Patrick Mahomes. Another big day for him, although he didn't get 300 yards. But another big day for him. Is he the MVP of this NFL season or not? Patrick Mahomes.
I think what he just did there, breaking the Kansas City Chiefs all-time touchdown mark with so many games to go, signals the greatest year of any quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. The question is, I think when you get down to the brass tacks of it, is how well does this team finish in the regular season? Because Jared Goff is right there in the same conversation along with Todd Gurley. But I think if you continue to play the same way that you have played, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, he is the league's MVP.
I understand you have some Broncos awards. We'll do that in a little bit.
3.
Brandon Marshall is now with the Saints.
Good for Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, a guy who has never had a playoff snap.
He'll be going now as long as he stays on the team.
Seems to be in line to have a playoff snap or two with the new New Orleans Saints. Here's the thing that's crazy. Last Tuesday when the guys worked out for the wide receiver position that was open, yes, Brandon Marshall did work out that day with Dez Bryant. They chose to go with Dez because, of course, he's younger.
Okay.
But now that Dez is out, they will sign both wide receivers. Will this work out for the Saints?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're using Taysom Hill as a wide receiver every now and then. Yeah, this is not that Hill's not versatile and fun to watch. He is. But, yeah, this fits in nicely. And it's not some sort of emergency situation. And he's joining a team that is just on fire. And Brandon's not a bad dude. It's great. I think it's great for everybody concerned.
Well, good luck to him, man. You know, I want to see
He's certainly
going
to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, but I want to see good things happen for this guy. He meant so much to so many around here. Just like I want to see good things happen for Demaryius as well.
I don't know if Brandon had the greatest time here, Al.
Well, I mean,
Why did he mean so much to so many here?
Oh, he was outstanding when he was outstanding. But, I mean, when you kick the football and you call the coach an idiot and you do all those things.
I don't know if Brandon's time here in Denver would be his finer moments. You know, they never went to the playoffs. It was a horrible...
I just said he hasn't been to the playoffs ever before in his NFL career, right. So that would include the Broncos.
All right. I like Brandon, so it's all good by me. Bongos.
3.
Baker Mayfield said this after the W yesterday.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Care to expand on that?
I just woke up feeling real dangerous.
Okay. He's so cocky. I know it could drive people nuts. They got to win over Atlanta. Atlanta's just falling apart. Oh, my God. Terrible. Alfred, do you think Baker Mayfield's coming into his own?
Absolutely. And it just takes you a little while to get used to this league. And then after that, then, you know,
look out.
Who you become. Just takes some while to get. It just takes a while to get used to it. And then once you understand what it is, the meeting schedules, the practice schedule, knowing what your week looks like.
How you feel about the Cleveland Browns here in town on December 15th?
Not as good as I used to feel.
Bongos.
3.
Deion Lewis came out with some cheap shots for his former team, the New England Patriots, for not signing him. Why is it that we have these instances of former ball players upset with their last team for not signing them when...
You're kidding, right?
I don't understand. I really don't understand. Yeah.
Well, you've never really been fired, so I guess you don't get it. But if you've been fired, you'd understand.
Wow, you went somewhere else, you got paid, you won Super Bowl. What else is it?
Al?
I mean, God, why would you be upset with the franchise that helped you do all those things?
Because you got fired. People who get fired are bitter. You kind of were fired. You were offered a significant salary decrease. You said,
yeah, but I was not upset with the Broncos.
No?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No, I was
not
hurt.
Even for a
I
moment?
Was hurt. I just knew the money and the time had run out. I mean, there's a schedule to this. And if you're not playing at a certain level, you'll be released.
Okay. I think it's a pretty natural human emotion to be ticked off at people that fire you and to wish bad things upon them.
Even after you've made tons of money and won championships?
Yes, because you feel betrayed. You feel lied to.
Okay.
You feel...
Well, I guess the history is in the favor of the Patriots because they use
a bounce back. Of course. You lose credibility in your gripiness when everybody knows you're a bitter ex-employee because you just looked at as a bitter ex-employee.
So that's what he said, that you know, all you have to do to beat the Patriots is come out and pop them in the, punch them in the mouth.
He can say whatever he wants to.
Okay.
But once you get, you know, dumped by somebody, if you come out and rip them for any reason, you're looked at as just a bitter ex-employee. I don't know how else to say it.
All right, cool.
So,
all right, Deion Lewis.
Trust me, this is my world of expertise.
Let me
being
ask
a
you
bitter
this.
Fired employee.
Do the Tennessee Titans make it to the playoffs?
Hold on a second. I was just looking at that.
I mean, if you think that they make it to the playoffs, then okay. But at 5-4, they got to hustle hard.
It's going to be tight. They got to go on a run. They could. I mean, I don't know, but they definitely could. Indy's coming up right behind them. The Chargers, are the Chargers going to fall apart? I think the Chargers are going to fall apart, by the way. Are the Ravens? I mean, there's so much great football left to come, so it's a hard question to answer. But the Titans are playing well at the right time, so are the Colts. Are the Tech? I don't know, man. That's a good question. I don't know. They're in the mix, though.
But if they don't make it to the playoffs, statements should have been made.
All right, Broncos.
Three!
When we come back, I understand you got some awards for the Broncos. We can take that into consideration. Also, why this game against the Chargers is not unwinnable. In fact, just the opposite. Details to come.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, I just got reminded on the on Twitter. Did anybody check on Cecil? Now that we know C.J. Anderson's been let go by the Panthers, is Cecil okay? Nobody knows. I hope he's okay. I was talking to my man, Aaron Anderson. Remember him? Remember Aaron? Used to be here. Used to be on TV around here. Great dude. He's out there in Carolina. And the C.J. Anderson getting released thing, I mean, you know, I casually follow the Panthers. I kind of just root for Christian. And I was like, wow, why did he get fired? Like, why did he get let go? I had no idea, Al, that he was playing as little as he was actually playing. 24 carries for 109 yards and one catch in 9 games. Yikes. The GM of the Panthers just said, the Christian's playing just so much, and we just like we don't need him.
Well, he's probably getting to that point in his career where he could say, hey, look, I still want to play. I just don't want to finish out this year like that, and if you'll do me a favor, I'll just, you know, will you release me?
But why? They're a playoff team, and he's making money.
Some players
want to
play.
Why would he want to go? Why? That doesn't even make sense.
What do you mean?
He's getting paid. He's probably comfortable there. He's not getting hurt.
What are you making the veterans minimum down there?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, where is it life going to be better
because
for him?
Because you don't want to make veteran minimum next year. You want to show that you can add value to a team, but the only way to do that is to play.
Huh. Okay. So you think he asked to be released?
I don't know if he did or didn't, but I'm just saying that.
Seems like a crazy move.
Well, I mean,
I kind of doubt it. I think he probably was just let go. Just wasn't very useful anymore. By the way, the Broncos.
I heard there was some rumblings.
Okay. The Broncos signed a new center, Gino Gradkowski. Does that name sound familiar? It should. He was on the team like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Damn. Because of Matt Paradis' situation. And by the way, did we ever find out, are the Broncos naming another captain?
Do they have to?
I really don't know how that works.
Well, whatever the coaches want, because we know the coaches have made the choices for captain.
We'll get into perhaps that and some other stuff. I saw Emmanuel Sanders over the weekend on NFL Network. That was interesting. Alfred, I understand you got some awards. What do you got there, friend?
Man, I want to just give out, you know, because I was gone last Friday and we didn't get to it, I figured we just should jump in and, you know, the halfway mark, name our offensive and defensive special teams captain, offensive, defensive MVPs along with the special teams.
We're naming MVPs for a 3-6 team?
Halfway through the season.
For a 3-6
team? These guys have had noteworthy seasons already and look to be a Pro Bowl type player the rest of the year.
All right.
Do you disagree?
Wow, they're 3-6, but
six, but you can still have great players at 3-6.
You can? Okay.
What do you mean?
All right, I'll roll with you. Who you got?
Well, right now I'm going to start on the offensive side, and I think this one was a toss-up between Emmanuel Sanders, but I really love the way Philip Lindsay has played in the first half of the season.
Lindsay following Janovich in for 6. 1 yard touchdown run. Early statement made by Denver.
And on the defensive side, it's none other than the great Von Miller. He has been outstanding.
Play fake to Brown and Goff. In trouble, and Von Miller gets to him first. That's 5 sacks by the Bronco defense. Boy, they've held up their end without question today, haven't they? Loss of 8 yards.
And the last one is Joseph Jones, who's had a great year on special teams already and looks to be a spark for this team on the defensive side. So there you have it, D-Mac. Those are my halfway MVPs for this team.
Wow, we're in trouble.
Why?
Our offensive MVP wasn't drafted.
Okay. Wait.
Our special teams MVP is a guy nobody's ever heard of. We're 3-6. Produces.
But how about this? Who would you have guessed to be the MVP after going through NFL
the
games?
Offensive MVP? Yes. Should have been Case Keenum.
Should have been, huh?
Yeah, you're in trouble if your offensive MVP isn't Case Keenum.
Let me be devil's advocate here. Case Keenum wasn't drafted either, so in either situation, right, your offensive player of the year so far would be an undrafted player.
I don't care. He's a high-priced free agent. Philip Lindsay was, hey, no offense, but, I mean, how much money did they actually spend on Philip Lindsay? 10 grand? Maybe 20 grand? I mean, that's nothing. That's scraping dirt off your shoes at the entrance.
Dude. We can say the same thing about Chris Harris. I mean, God, yeah, sometimes guys outperform their contracts.
I got it, but
this has certainly been, I mean, Philip Lindsay is averaging.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying.
He's got 591, seventh in the NFL.
I'm not arguing.
5.4 yards a rush. That's right.
Yeah, you're missing my point. The guy you're paying $18 million isn't on that list.
No, he's not on the list.
He just got outperformed by a dude that, you know, wasn't drafted.
Things happen.
Well, that's not good. It's a bad... Joe Jones? Brandon McManus isn't your special teams MVP?
No.
Well, that's bad, too.
Shouldn't McManus be our special teams MVP?
Well, he's the guy that scores the most points a year, so I would guess, yeah, he should be. He is literally your leading point scorer year in and year out.
But why does that have to be the guy
that
is?
He probably would have been if he kicked the ball through the uprights for 51 yards.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been my special team MVP.
Your defensive MVP? Thank God if Vaughn made your list. I mean, geez.
Vaughn made the list.
Well, good.
Bradley Chubb is right behind him with 8 sacks on the year.
If Bradley Chubb...
That's, by the way, 1-2 in the NFL in sacks.
If a rookie in his first 9 games... was better than the highest, what was once the highest paid defensive player in the league, then you're in trouble. You got to get guys to produce for you that you put all your faith in.
Well, do you have any options outside of those?
No, I'm not arguing with you.
Okay,
I'm just pointing out this is like Jamie Moyer made the starting lineup. You know, it's not, it's like, oh, that's something, but, you know, it's not great.
Aaron Donald, by the way, leads the NFL in sacks with 12 and a half. Yep. Listen to what I just said. Aaron Donald, defensive tackle. Von Miller leads all outside edge rushers and with 9. Daniel Hunter has 11 and a half.
Yeah, the best pass rusher in the NFL right now is Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
He's not on the top 10. He's not in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't care. Did you see what he did yesterday to Detroit?
I did.
Oh, my Lord. Dude,
JPP has 8. T.J. Watt has 8. J.J. Watt has 9.
Hey, really quick, guys.
D. Ford has 9, by the way. Remember D. Ford?
Tell me about impact sacks. Hey, not like the quarterback holds the ball too long and then backs into some
guy. How about
D.
Ford? Is that guy an impact guy?
Yeah, I like D. Ford. He's good. Yes, Brian.
And Vance made comments last week that said that they do not have any plans to name an alternate captain with Paradis going to the IR.
Why wouldn't they name Emmanuel Sanders? This here you go. This is perfect. What is wrong with Sanders that he doesn't get dubbed a captain now? I don't get. Actually,
what is wrong with the Broncos roster when Demaryius Thomas isn't a captain?
Well, they're going to dump him. That's why.
So do you believe me now? Remember we got in this huge controversy about a year ago. Two years ago.
The rigged elections?
Right.
I agreed with you.
I'm like.
Of course. Trevor Siemian's
captain?
Dude. The state of Florida thinks we have a bad election system. Georgia thinks we're messed up.
Right.
All right. Football at 4 is next.